Thank you very much for coming to this talk. This is Thursday evening, this is the last day. So what I'm going to do is walk you through application in, integration futures, which primarily this the talk is focused on what we're building in BizTalk now and where it's going. Right, so the integration product for Microsoft essentially is BizTalk, and that's what it's about. My name is Sriram. I go with just by my last name. I'm the director of development for BizTalk. I've been in BizTalk for over 10 years now. And with me, I have Rajesh, who's going to help me with the demos. We have some compelling demos that we're going to show now, and there's also a follow-up talk. I think it's S330E in the southern side, right after this talk. So there we'll go into, that's mostly just the depth of the demos. We'll actually build apps end-to-end. So I think I encourage you all to go there as well. So I'd be probably doing quite a bit of talking about what we are building and why we are building it, and then I'll have Rajesh demo through a set of scenarios we're building at a high level. I do want to make this a little interactive because it's I want to also get a feel for what people are thinking. So after about a couple of slides, I'll ask if people have questions, and please step up and ask me questions. I'll start first with asking, how many people here have used BizTalk? That's it. Great. How many of you used BizTalk 2010? Okay. How many of you used the Azure AI or EDI service? Okay. How many of you know about it? Including the folks who used it, of course. Oh, just a few. Okay, good. We'll cover all of this. I think because it's a talk that I wanted to start with what the key takeaways should be. Right? In case you need to step out, I'll let you know what is it that we're trying to cover today. The primary intent of this talk is we are deeply invested and innovating in BizTalk, the scenario. Thank you. I'll talk about how how it's evolving in terms of the challenges that we have, the customer space, and what BizTalk needs to do in these spaces, and what we are doing in the immediate short term to address this. Right? How many people know that we announced a product called BizTalk Server 2010 R2? So late last year, we talked about the next server version of BizTalk. We had a few features that we listed as part of the pillars of the release, primarily around B2B enhancements, around platform updates, and some cloud connectivity stuff. What we're going to talk about today is committing ourselves to this, the same time frame that we talked about, which is Windows 8 servers plus 6 months, and also talk about quite a few other features that are going to be part of the release. Right, so the goal here is whenever I have gotten in front of probably some of you before, whenever I do this, I want to make sure that the features that we talk about, we are committed to releasing in the next release. So, and then it will be more. So the first one is that we are on track to release this. Second, this is a question that I have heard often, but I have not heard in other forums or other products, so I would like to reiterate this. There is a commitment to release the BizTalk server product for years to come after this release, okay? So we don't usually go and state this for every product, but I am going to state it per se, right? So just don't want the question to be repeated. Third, there's a set of new scenarios that are coming up primarily because of the pivot around cloud. Cloud's a huge inflection point for almost all enterprise scenarios, including BizTalk. And I'll talk about what are the specific challenges there and how BizTalk is going to help mitigate some of those. As we innovate in the cloud, one of the things that we are also noticing with customers is that people still continue to have assets on premises, and they want to make sure that these things interoperate together. So BizTalk is going to help you put all of these together as well. And my ask to you, since all of you said you're currently using BizTalk, is continue to use BizTalk. We will take your investments forward as we evolve into the world of cloud plus hybrid plus on-premise world. With that, so since most of you have already used the product, I'm probably going to just brush through this section very quickly. Right. So Most of you know what BizTalk Server does. For the sake of folks who are on going to be watching this online, BizTalk Server is a integration product that helps you integrate disparate systems, be it sensor systems like RFID, be it line of business systems like SAP, Oracle, or IBM systems, mainframe systems, and be business-to-business partners. That's primarily what it does. And it also brings along core technologies like orchestration and messaging and routing as part of this. And momentum for BizTalk continues. This is something that most folks here already know, which is we have thousands of customers in BizTalk. It's one of the most high, it's the product in that category with the highest install base, right? And lots of big Fortune 500 companies are betting their business on solutions built on BizTalk. And more importantly, we've been, even though we've shipped in October 2010, we've been constantly releasing what we call cumulative updates of fixes as well as requests from customers that we think are DCRs as part of releases. This has been going out every quarter or so. So if you don't know about it, please do contact us offline. We'll how to get synced up with that. This is for those who've been using this. This has been extremely useful and a predictable way of getting updates from us. Interestingly, the uptake on 2010, the latest version of BizTalk, has been huge. About 80% of the customers have already used in one solution or the other, the 2010. In the enterprise space, that's actually a pretty fast uptake. And last but not the least, we did a third-party study, which was conducted, funded by Microsoft, but a completely impartial third-party study with hundreds of customers, 600 to 700 customers, who were surveyed in terms of what integration products they use, what's your satisfaction with them. One of the things that we noticed is in the last few years, the satisfaction of BizTalk customers has been significantly on the up, and it's significantly higher than any of the products in the competing arena. And specifically for 2010, it's been even higher than traditionally what other versions of the product have been. So it's on a good trend. So customers are liking what they're seeing. And there's a reason for that. The reason is we continue to innovate every constantly releasing things like cumulative updates where we're servicing the customers, but every 2 to 3 years, we continue to innovate by releasing a new release with a set of features that customers have asked for. So what is next? I think that's what the goal of this particular meeting is. Before we get into that, I want to kind of give a gist of what we've been hearing from customers in some high-level broad categories. To start with, the first and foremost adoption blocker are things that people talk to us about is systems change. BizTalk is an integration product. Systems change. My line of business system, the back end, there are new versions of it. There are new standards coming up. There are new in business, in B2B or any other protocols. There are new platforms specifically from Microsoft in terms of be it operating systems or databases or your development environment. Even in the case of Office or System Center, these platforms are getting updated, and they want to keep current with these. As defined by the enterprise architecture in their company, because most of these enterprises have sort of, they want to standardize on a particular platform, so want to make sure that their integration solutions are able to move with that. That's the number one request that we get all at this point in time. Second one is integration solutions continue to be challenging in terms of building them and the cost of maintenance. So the time to market is very high, primarily because I think the tools, even though BizTalk makes it extremely easy to build some of these complex applications, it still takes a long time, right? That's one of those requests that we get in terms of customer pain points. Third one is, this is one that I think as you go higher up the stack, folks ask us in terms of, if we take an example of B2B, I want to focus more on my business. I'm making a trading partner agreement with my supplier or retailer. But I'm spending most of my energy in configuring pipelines and writing custom code, right? So they want to focus on the areas of their business as opposed to infrastructure or code. And it also gives IT Pro agility to, they also need agility for IT Pro to be able to manage these solutions easily. Customers do see the huge advantages that cloud brings, the inflection point, specifically around I can scale it more easily, I can provision machines a lot faster, and on average, what I've noticed folks say is, it takes me around 90 days to get machines installed and the systems installed in place, 30 to 90 days. That's a long time when you work at the, in new world where you need to be a lot more agile. And there are, they also see advantages in terms of some scenarios where, like B2B, you're already interacting with some partner in the cloud. You want to make sure that, partner via a proprietary network, cloud can bring huge advantages in terms of cost and scale over there. But there are huge challenges with cloud technologies as well, specifically in integration. One is around data privacy. There's lots of the BizTalk scenarios end up being having trading partner management data or some specific data that is, or LOB data that you don't want to move outside. I want to make sure that they're isolated. My installation in the cloud is isolated from other folks. I want more control. I want to be able to monitor the systems a lot more closely. And last but not the least, with the cloud, there's another topology that I can connect to. So there's more integration needs. Right? I want to be able to connect to a SaaS application like Salesforce or Office online. So there is a sort of new set of challenges that cloud poses. And in addition to that, there are certain line of business system assets that are never going to go to the cloud. And customers are enterprises that we talk to say something like, 25% of my integration solutions, even a decade out, I don't see them running in the cloud. Right? So they want to bridge these things together. Right? And the challenge is you have various kinds of requirements in terms of topologies, but you want to make sure that you bridge all of these together. And there is no sort of single pattern to say, I'm going to jump and move everything to the cloud right now or next year. Customers want to make sure that they can face these things and essentially adopt cloud on my terms, right? And there is no sort of one size solution that fits everybody. Right? And that's the important takeaway in terms of, we need to make sure that there are different patterns in terms of how customers use and different timelines in which they will adopt. And as they adopt, it's not going to be a one-shot change from I'm going from everything on-prem to everything to the cloud. It's going to be a mixed mode. I need to make sure that you can actually have your application built that way easily, managed easily, monitored, and to be able to reason about it. So here I think I'd go through what we are doing in BizTalk. Right, specifically to address these challenges. And as you see the demos, it'll come out more clearly. Number one, I already talked about this. We'll do BizTalk server on premises. This is the version that's going to ship 6 months after Windows 8. As I said, we will make sure that we'll support the latest Microsoft platforms, latest target systems in terms of LOBs, improved reach for business-to-business customers in terms of platform standard support. And then we've also added significant improvements in terms of performance and connectivity. I'll share details of the same. Second, I think I'd like to announce the fact that BizTalk, one of the requirements we've had for BizTalk running in the cloud, the first step that people want to take is, I already have my application. I don't want to rewrite it. I just want to run it in the cloud. And primarily, the first set of scenarios there is, I want to develop something in the cloud. I want to test this in the cloud. And then maybe I'll run it back on-premise, right? And the reasoning behind that is I want to be able to provision machines very quickly, get hardware very quickly, provision it, and configure a BizTalk server, run it there, and then get it back on-prem. Right? There are also folks who want to move some of the Tier 2 applications to the cloud as part of this. And we would be providing sort of BizTalk ability to run in IaaS. And then BizTalk on Azure as a platform as a service. Essentially, this is what we've released as CTP for Azure EAI and EDS services. What we want to make sure this over there is build some of these scenarios natively on Azure, right? Taking advantage of the scale aspects of Azure, the ability of our ability to bring the development time for integration solutions significantly lower in the cloud concept in terms of writing simple bridges as opposed to installing an entire application, right? So we'll walk you through how that is actually made a lot simpler in the new world. As we move this, we also want to make sure that whatever you've built as assets in BizTalk, you can take it forward. So specific BizTalk artifacts that you spent a lot of time developing, we want to make sure that it moves into this, we're at least able to migrate that into the new world. I want to make sure that there are certain set of patterns that we can support with just minimal coding, just configuration-driven development with where you can just run very quickly and deploy, and it just runs. Right? So there are set of simple patterns that you would want to be able to support very easily. And last, but definitely not the least, is we want to make sure that all of these work together. Right? Now, this is a journey that we'll be on where we'll be trying to tie these things together in deeper and deeper fashion, richer fashions. But we think we are making huge steps in just the release that we are going to go with in Vista 2010 R2. Right? Okay, that's a lot. Any questions before I go on to the next set of slides? Good. Go ahead. Good question. Naming, I'm going to stay away from naming this point. But we are, okay, the easiest way to say it, we are trying to bring all of this under the one BizTalk umbrella. Okay. Because we're not going to talk about specific names. Yeah. Go ahead.
Any plans for using availability groups for the SQL here?
Yeah, good question. We've actually looked at the disaster recovery aspects of BizTalk. There are both the log shipping as well as the Hadron aspects. It's not currently in the plan that we have listed, but it's definitely something that we are looking at. Okay. Yep. So when will BizTalk on Azure be certified on IaaS, be certified for production? So we are hoping, I'll share you the timelines for that. If you just wait for a few minutes, I'll share you. We'll make it available as soon as it's ready, just like the SQL folks are telling you in terms of when it'll be ready. We want to make sure that it is, we want to time this along with the release for the R2, for the on-premises release, part of that. Okay, go ahead. And one last question, and then I'll move on. Yeah.
As of now, BizTalk is supporting the adapter for Palma Server, and Palma Server is moving away from Microsoft. Mm-hmm. So my question is, still BizTalk support the adapter, or you will focus developing adapter for Palma Server?
I will have to take that offline.
Okay.
So this is a question on Palma Server. I'll have to take this offline because I need to get some details on that. So.
Yeah, sure. For the questions, it would be better to ask them to the mic.
Oh, yeah. I'll repeat it. Okay. It's probably easier. Okay. So here, go through the details of what we're building for the SQL Server. The number one thing is it's about platform update. And there's a lot of things that have changed in terms of platforms that Microsoft that BizTalk uses. Number one, Windows 8. There's a new version of Windows 8 Server that will be shipping soon. There is SQL Server Denali, which is SQL Server 2012. Office 15, which we use in the BAM analytics aspects of our world, and SharePoint Server, and System Center for managing and monitoring. But most importantly, the first thing that you use is Visual Studio. So Visual Studio 2012 support is something that customers have asked for a lot. Now, all of this, we want to make sure that it's all supported in next version of BizTalk Server. For things like Visual Studio, you should be able to take your current project. In fact, we'll show you a demo of that in the next talk, where you should just be able to take your current project, which is BizTalk project in Visual Studio 2010, and just be able to upgrade it, and it'll work. Upgrade Visual Studio 2012, and then open it up, it just works. Right? And we want to make the upgrade experience for almost all of these things just as simple. There are challenges in some places that we are working through, but it's something that we will make sure that you don't get to see it. But you don't say face the challenges, of course. Second one, I think, is the huge set of investments around B2B. And see, the entire space of B2B is around partners talking to each other on specific standards. Now, we've built a platform which is extensible, so people can actually go and implement these standards themselves. But we provide some of these standards specifically around Swift, HL7, and EDIFACT, EDI or EDIFACT or X12, which is both EDI protocols, out of the box. And these standards, we want to make sure that we are able to support the latest, greatest, or at least all the ones that are most prevalent in the industry. This is a challenge for enterprises, because when I want to talk to some other partner or supplier, and they use a different standard, and that's not supported by the base product that I bought, then I would have to invest a lot in terms of writing custom code, right? So this we believe is going to be hugely influential in terms of people decreasing their time in terms of building B2B applications. And this will bring us current too with respect to all the standards in B2B. Performance-wise, we've invested in several areas in performance. I'll list only some of these today. The ordered send port scenarios, where you have a send port that is expected to deliver messages in order, the serialization aspect of it was slowing things down quite a bit, and it's the nature of the protocol. We've found innovative ways in terms of where we can actually speed this up, and this has definitely improved in cases like HL7, but there are also several scenarios in where you need ordered messaging. And this improvement is actually several times, over 5 times in terms of speed that we've noticed in terms of throughput. We've also improved the way we process messages that use dynamic send ports. Previously, dynamic send ports that were hosted in a default host, and essentially for each adapter. So the patterns that different folks used for different dynamic send ports, they affected the same host. So if you were sending one large message and I was sending a really small message, or we were going through the same host, and that was sort of difficult to tune. What we made sure now, this we actually made it give you a configuration parameter where you can actually have the host handler for a dynamic send port be configured. So this makes it significantly faster for dynamic send ports, and something that lots of customers use, and we also use in the ESB toolkit. So the ESB performance would be a lot better. We made improvements in MLP adapter, the performance of the adapter in the healthcare MLLP. And we've done significant improvements in terms of our connectivity from HIS to DB2. The client bulk insert, for example, makes it 15 times faster, right, to do inserts. So there's a ton of improvements in terms of performance in the product. So manageability. One of the challenges that we have with Bistock is people actually build lots of artifacts. You have maps, you have schemas, you have orchestrations, you have your pipelines. They all depend on each other. And when you want to delete something or modify something, you need to, usually what people do is try and delete and see what happens, right? What we wanted to do is we want to make sure that it's easy to visualize this. So we provided a visualized dependency manager or dependency visualizer in your admin console. So this we believe is going to be very useful, and for folks here who are probably IT pros who can manage the system a lot easier. Right. One of the things that we've also made sure that the ESB toolkit is core part of the product in terms of setup, in terms of support, all of those things in the next. Thank you. Again, there are significant set of investments in HIS. One of those is making sure that your administration is easier via configuration with metadata files that are easier for you to parse in terms of XML. There are a few others that we'll share with you. Right. So I think overall, we're going to make there are parts here that I'm talking about that we didn't discuss before. There's lots more we're adding in terms of features, right? We only earlier talked only about the platform updates and the B2B enhancements. The performance is getting better, manageability is getting better, and Bistock is about connectivity, right? So every release, you want to make sure that you can connect, you make richer ways of connecting to external systems. First and foremost, we want to make sure that you can consume REST services from anywhere. So this is one of the things that has happened in the industry, that most services today have a RESTful interface. You want to be able to consume that natively from Bistock. And today, Rajesh will walk you through how easy it is to actually consume a REST service. The early SharePoint experience, we had a SharePoint adapter. We have a SharePoint adapter, which makes it easy for you to connect to SharePoint, but at the same time, you have to go install a certain agent in SharePoint, and when it's a farm of SharePoint machines, it's going to be difficult for you to manage, and there's some other administrative administrator who you need to talk to. So what we made the experience simply about not touching the SharePoint box and just connecting directly, right? So this is going to be a huge advantage, again, in terms of manageability, for you to be, manage only the BizTalk machines and just be able to connect to SharePoint just like you connect to any other LOB. We've made some several improvements to HIS, SMTP, in terms of, specifically in case of SMTP, we're going to, we make it easy for you to send one mail to several folks with the same body and different send addresses or different titles, you know, things of that sort. So there's a notion of an advanced macro where you can actually set these things so that as the message goes out, only certain parts get replaced. We'll make it very easy to connect to Azure artifacts like service bus, topics, queues, send ports, and so on, and relay, for example. As I mentioned, the connectivity to SQL from DB2, or connectivity from SQL to Informix, or for SQL to behave like a DB2 so that you can actually migrate your apps to SQL. Those kinds of things are getting much, much richer in this release. With that, I will. Any questions? Because this is the summary of the set of things that we're doing. Yeah. Yeah.
Regarding your BizTalk accelerators, like we have a Swift Initial 7.
Mm-hmm.
Is Microsoft trying to release around Accord specifically to insurance industries standard Accord accelerator?
No, we don't have any plans for that. It's not on our. We should talk offline if you think we should do it, but yeah. The question was, are we going to release an accelerator for insurance industries? No. Yeah.
What about publishing resources?
Ah, question. It is something that people have asked for. Like, it's very easy to publish web services today. Can you publish REST services? It's something that we are looking at, but it's not in the book plan. Okay. So, question. SFTP, we have definitely investigated, but it's not in the book plan. We have a record for, we've done a bunch of analysis in terms of prioritization. If you think that's something that matters, you can actually talk to it. But yeah, you should also realize all of this we're trying to do by, in a very, very short time frame, Windows 8 plus 6 months. Windows 8 is in release preview. I don't know exactly when it'll ship, but it's going to be very, very soon. So 6 months from then, we should have all of these features. So adding features now is going to make the date go up. Okay. Yes.
The developer experience. Some of the tooling for developers.
So there is some developer tooling experience innovations that we are doing, but that's primarily going to start. You're going to see the big effect of that around the Azure, BizTalk on Azure PaaS world first, and then we'll bring it back to the server world. This is primarily, in this one, the primary fix is just to make sure that you actually can build it using Visual Studio 2012.
And there's one more question.
Yeah, and then the last one, one of the big things that I talked about is like running BizTalk in Azure, which is an IaaS, right? Infrastructure as a Service. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about what that is. The primary use case is, as I said, the first step in terms of cloud adoption is, I already have an app. I want to run it in cloud. Or I have I've thought up a solution. I don't want to go around looking for a machine. Right? So hardware procurement seems to be the number one reason people want to move. That reduces the time and cost of, maintaining a BizTalk sort of a test or dev environment as well. And I want to be able to move the applications back and forth. So if it's the same environment, an IaaS, so I can actually build an app in the cloud and then say, okay, I just package it and move it back, run it on-prem. So the goal is, I'll actually walk you through the experience in terms of the next slide. So the goal is actually the customer walks in, creates a virtual network in Azure. So this is a dev plus test environment. And you could have it for a dev-only environment, you could have it without just the left part. You could do everything in the cloud and just run it there. But in case of a test where you want to bring it back in terms of accessing line of business systems on-prem, you want to make sure that you actually have a VPN set up with Azure, right? A part of your customer network, customer's on-prem network is connected to Azure via VPN. User then logs into the portal, selects a specific BizTalk image. You could say, I want a BizTalk with for dev environment, different sets of topologies. To say, I want to test a multi-node environment with two BizTalks on one SQL Server, right? And then you create, and what we do is we create those VMs and select the, and you just configure it, just like you configure any, your TS into it and just configure it. And then you just add it to your virtual network. New VMs are now provisioned in Azure for in Azure IaaS for customers to use it directly. And then user just logs into the provisioned VM, just like you would log into any machine, TS into a machine, and then just, you know, you have your BizTalk up and running. So the big advantage here is the primary one is actually around machine procurement. And second one is installation of BizTalk on a farm of machines very quickly. And the rest of it, we'll try and do as much as we can in terms of making the configuring it easier. But even if the configuring was just as what it is today, you cut out a big part of what you have to do in terms of getting your stuff going, right? So the primary focus is dev and test, but we also believe that, you know, eventually people want to run in production, especially tier two stuff at first on Azure itself. And so the time frame for this, as you asked, is the same as the Windows 8 plus 6 months. You want to make sure that you can get the get it running in terms of you being able to develop and test in Azure. And depending on your tier, the app requirements, you could choose to run it in production as well. We'll talk about it. Questions? Yep.
So this is coming in 2010 R2, or this is
a same time frame.
Same time frame.
Yes. So the question was, is this coming in the same time frame as the on-prem release that we talked about? Yes.
What about why?
So I don't have any details on that yet, so we can share. We can talk offline. The question was, what's the licensing cost? We can't share details yet. Yeah, go ahead. So the question is, have you done any performance testing on Azure and AIS? We are doing those, and in fact, we're working through it as we speak, and we will share guidelines. So there'll be Azure is built on commodity hardware, but with great network, and they're kind of tied together in terms of, and then you have certain advantages in terms of fault domains and upgrade domains. But at the same time, we need to make sure that just like we provided guidelines in terms of performance guidelines for BizTalk on-prem, we're going to do the same thing for BizTalk and IaaS.
DTC, I guess it's currently
not. Yeah, good question. question is, say, the distributed transaction coordinator, it's a key part of BizTalk because when I receive a message, I need to delete it only after it's persisted in SQL and needs to be part of the same transaction because I want to do exactly once operations. It is a feature that is supported in IaaS. And one of the primary reasons is because BizTalk needs to bet on that. So, yes. So it'll work. Your application will work just like it works on-prem. So DTC is supported. Yeah. Go ahead. So you're talking about the file adapter?
File adapter.
Oh, I see. So we should. The question is, does BizTalk support only NTFS in terms of file adapter, or does
that's
it support?
Right now, yeah.
You mean network adapter?
Yeah.
So we can take this offline. Actually, I have technical details on why we can't do that or
okay.
Why we don't do that, but we can talk about your scenario in terms of what you need.
Okay. So I know you said you don't want to talk about naming, but like,
okay.
Is on-premise still going to be marketed and named BizTalk always, or is there?
Oh, so the question is the on-premise server going to be marketed as BizTalk?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the way you answered the question, or like asked if this is coming in BizTalk.
No. So this the BizTalk IaaS, the licensing model for BizTalk IaaS, it's not figured out. Right. I mean, we don't know the details. We'll share to it said it, as far as we know. On the other hand, BizTalk, the server product, continues to, I reiterated because I said one of the key takeaways is, after this release, there will be further releases of BizTalk server. We'll continue to ship BizTalk server as we find more and more features that customers need that we need to go to, right? So that hopefully that answers your question. So I'd like to understand the question a little better because I can't probably hear you.
So this is literally a BizTalk server running on a VM.
Yes, this is BizTalk server, the same BizTalk server on premise that's running in a VM role, persisted VM role in Azure. Okay? Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, question is, will BAM be supported on BizTalk in IA?
Yes. All the features that we get on BizTalk on premise, all of them. Cases where you would need to connect to a line of business system, that goes to the site on prem, we will talk about how we can actually connect it, either directly to Azure or via the
timeline,
so I already talked about it, which is CD or whatever we talked about in terms of on premise security, as well as IAS, as well as and then a beta, which is hopefully a production beta, sometimes we call hindsight, and an article with Facebook. I think you're tracking the now I want to talk a little bit about.
You seem to have lost your mind.
Yes, I have. Is it working? Say something.
It doesn't seem to work. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Good. So, talk a little bit about the AI service of BizTalk as a PaaS or platform as a service. So, there's several applications that are being built today in the cloud, and that need access to several things, be it a SaaS service running in the cloud, be it a line of business asset like an SAP system running on-prem, or generic web services that are either available on-prem or off. And certain artifacts like service bus queues or topics or relay bindings that you want to be able to attach to and get information from. So your application, you want to focus on making sure that you enrich this sort of messaging subsystem with a set of things. First, you have protocols and formats, just like in BizTalk, you on-prem. There's protocols and formats that are mismatched. You need to bring them together. So in terms of adapters or transformation engines, that make sure that you can actually take a particular protocol and normalize it to either a canonical form like XML, and then you can transform it in a simple way, just like a mapper that we use in BizTalk, to be able to transform the message. And there are several cases where you can actually do just that part and configure it and have it run. Right? The first and foremost thing that we want to make sure in this world is, if you can get a pattern that can be just implemented without any code and just configuration, you should be able to support that. Right? And so the dev cost, as somebody was talking about, the cost of developing on all these solutions, especially for the simple patterns, should be very, very, very less. Like we've had cases where we've had the time it takes to develop a map go from 2 weeks to 2 days, right? A really complex map, and just in the map. But if you actually put the entire pipeline together, it could be a huge benefit in terms of the time to market or time to build a solution. In spite of this, though, you would still have cases where you want to build your own custom code. You may want to do a database lookup as the product information comes in, or you may want to do some other custom web service call or some other call that you in order to enrich the message. So we want to allow folks to actually still be able to do customizations wherever you need to do that, right? And then after you do this, you want to be able to route the message to the right place, right? Be it a service bus queue, or your own app, or in many cases, to a hybrid on-prem solution, right? So that's a set of things that you want to be able to build in a very, very easy, quick fashion, and deploy it, but run it at scale, right? So the whole pattern is supposed to be, I can build this in a fashion where I can have this set of artifacts be built very quickly, and test it, and then you deploy it in the cloud, and you can scale easily, just like any other cloud service scales. So in order to sort of walk you through this, we have a scenario which is directly from one of the customers that we have, which is an internal Microsoft customer. We have an incident management system. The incident management system has ways of collecting data about specific products from different sources. It could be phone calls, could be web service calls, could be an FTP site in this case. So all of this need to be normalized so that you can actually get all of this information persisted in a line of business system. The reason we wanted they wanted to build the solution in the cloud is two reasons primarily. One, the usual reason folks want to be able to get these the deployment going very fast so you can actually provision machines and get things running very fast. So that's the first foremost advantage of cloud. Second is, if you had this built on the usual way in terms of building it on-prem, the number of holes that you have to poke through your firewall is one per adapter that you have. So you want to be able to normalize all of this, and so you just have one relay binding into the through the firewall in on-prem. So what we what they decided therefore is to build on top of what we call the Azure AI service, or where you can actually build this quickly, deploy it in the cloud, and have that talk to a line of business system very easily. So that's the overall scenario. Rajesh is now going to walk you through how that system is built, right? So, and you can see the flavor of what's happening here. People want to use the cloud, but they're not going to use the entire app running in the cloud. They have certain normalizations, things that the cloud lends itself beautifully to, right? But the line of business system still resides in on-prem. Right. And in fact, the most of the line of business data, it actually continues to reside on-prem, doing all of the compute and normalization in the cloud. Right. And we see patterns like this. Right. And it's not the only pattern, but it's a very typical pattern where folks do things like this. So I'll just now switch it to Rajesh.
Yeah.
Is your mic working?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
It's a problem with the battery. Okay. Switch over. Okay. So the incident management scenario which we saw before in the slide, we'll just take a quick look at how we can actually implement that using service bus SDK builds, EIA services. So one of the things you can do is as soon as you install the SDK, you should be able to see a new project template for EAI projects wherein you can go ahead and create it. As soon as you create it, what you will see is actually experience wherein you can actually model your data flow. In this particular case, what you have done is take the exact same scenario which we talked about earlier and actually modeled it in a way wherein it's you can visually experience what the data flow is going to look like. So just to walk through this, what you're basically saying is you have a bridge which basically can take orders like incidents from a FTP source, normalize it, and then send it to an on-premise LOB system. So before we go into the details of what the exact data flow are, let's take a look at what this experience is like. This right here is a message flow, wherein you can take a bridge, configure it, etc. There are two kinds of bridges. One is a one-way bridge, and the other was a two-way bridge. A bridge is a model we use in EAI to basically make sure that you're able to handle structural normalizations as well as protocol normalizations. If you get a data in one structure and you want to convert to something else, you should be able to do it via a bridge. If you get a data in one transport, HTTP, and you want to descend it in some other transport, you should be able to do it in the bridge as well. So all these structural normalization, message enrichments is something we want to do in the bridge. So after you have this in place, we'll walk through the specific characteristics of the bridge later. You also have various destinations you can send the data to. Okay, you got the data, you did the normalization, you want to send it to somewhere else, so where can you send? There are a predefined set of destinations which you can directly send data to, and those include service bus relays, service bus queues, topics, as well as any external web services you might have. So all this that is required is drag and drop the entity to which you want to send the data to, configure its data points. For example, let's see what the experience is for a specific queue. So once you drag and drop a queue, all it asks is, hey, tell me your queue name. And once you specify the queue name, all the internal metrics in terms of how you send the data is handled internally. So, and you also have the source for FTP, wherein you can configure a FTP source in terms of where you want to get the data from, what is the user credentials, etc. So now that we understand what the data flow is, you get the data from an FTP source, you normalize it, do some message enrichment, and send it across. We'll say look at what the actual bridge does. So this is one of the things we have built upon, wherein you can actually specify what your data is going to do once it comes in. So in this case, we are going to make sure that we validate the message, and we specify what kind of messages can actually be received at the particular bridge endpoint. And it's not only XML messages, you can accept both XML as well as flat file messages at the same bridge endpoint. And after you receive the data, you can do a bunch of enhancements as well as apply transforms to the data. So we'll take a peek look at what transformation is. This is one of the key areas in which we've done a whole lot of really innovative things. So if you explore deeper, you'll be able to uncover most of these. What you see right here is a simple transformation file wherein you get the data, you normalize it, and convert it to some other format. But if you look at the toolbox, you have a whole bunch of operations you can do on a map, starting from basic things like concatenate, string, like extraction, etc. But you also have fairly complex things like looping and in-memory variable support, which are really rich and allows you to do a whole bunch of things which are previously not possible purely via configuration. For example, if you want to do nested looping and do all of this stuff together, you can use the looping as well as the in-memory variable support so that you can do all of those scenarios directly via the transformation mapper. So after you have done that, your final thing is, hey, I've got the data, I have transformed it, I want to route it to an endpoint. So this is where what we have is a direct way to connect to on-premise LOB systems via relays, and once you have configured it, you basically have your end-to-end scenario running. So in this case, just to recap, based on what the visual experience we have, you can create a new EA project, model your data flow, and state that data comes in via FTP source. Once it comes in, you're going to normalize it and then send it to an on-premise relay. So once we have this configured and deployed, we should be able to see it working end-to-end. So I had previously deployed this project.
So the deploy is, how do you deploy it? You just right-click on the solution.
Yes. Yeah. So this is like any other Visual Studio experience you might have. Mm-hmm. You can right-click the EAI project and say deploy. And all that is required for you to deploy is specify your service bus credentials. And remember, this is actually deploying to your service bus namespace. So once you have defined what your namespace and user credentials are, and that is the exact set of things which you need to specify. That's the service bus namespace and your ACS key and SHA secret. So once you deploy, it will basically deploy all the artifacts that you have listed, be it saying that configuring your FTP source, as well as deploying the bridge, as well as configuring the relay through which you're sending the data to your on-premise LOB systems. So now that I had it previously deployed, what I can go ahead and do is verify that.
Just one thing to add. So the diagram looks very simple. So, but at the same time, I think the power of what we've done is You can pick any source, any destination, and destination in this case could be something on-prem. And if it's a line of business system on-prem, it actually connects through the relay to the right on-prem server and interacts with the LOB. So you can actually model this entire thing in just, you know, one diagram. And in terms of the message transformation, that the piece in the middle, that stuff runs in the cloud to validate, to extract the right set of properties, to enrich and promote the set of properties so that you can route on it later, even in on-prem. And you know, and I have a transformation engine just like your BizTalk, except that it's there are certain advantages in terms of how it does iterative operations that you can actually model. The modeling is a lot richer. You do all of this, and then you just send it to the on-prem, all in one shot. Just that one single pipeline will actually describe that to you, the message flow. Yeah, go ahead.
So in the documentation, there is mention about a generic bridge. Is that something that's still in the roadmap?
Yes. So the question was, is there there's a documentation about a generic bridge as opposed to a better bridge, which is this particular bridge is what we call a better bridge, or validate, extract, transform, iterate, and route. There are other patterns that you can build on. In fact, our B2B EDI implementation is built on a custom, bridge. We will share. There is a plan to actually get this generic bridge available, at least for ISVs to be able to build it. We'll share in terms of details, in terms of timeline. But it's in the POR. Okay.
All right. So once we deploy the project, we should be able to basically go ahead and test this end to end. So what we'll basically see is once you drop the file to the FTP share location, the bridge picks it up, consumes it, does the data normalization, and sends this across to LOB. So to verify that we are able to do it, what I'm going to do is basically drop a fat file which contains some incident data to the share location, and this should effectively get pulled by the bridge. Now, this is another thing to keep in mind, which is like when you drop a data to a FTP source, you're actually pulling the data from the source, which means it's a passive entity. So once you drop the data here, the bridge pulls the data, understands there's a new file which needs to be processed, picks it up, and says that, hey, as per whether it is in norms with the data which you have already set as part of message validation, is it part of the same structure? Does the message validation, does the enrichment, does the mapping, and then browse it to LOB. So let's verify. So the polling interval is automatically done by the queue. So if you see here, the data got consumed and got processed. You should be able to go ahead and see it in your on-premise LOB. So in this case, I previously created an entry in SQL. If you see here, there are like two new entries which came in, which basically explains the whole point. Now, to emphasize on what we have done, it's not only have we created a solution using the cloud services, but we also enabled an hybrid application wherein you get a data from the data and you're able to actually persist it on-premise. So, question.
When you say durability in terms of...
Yeah, guaranteed delivery, so persistent points throughout
the process. So we'll talk about a little bit in B2B. We actually, there are tracking and archiving features that we're adding that's going to make it a lot easier for doing non-repudiation. Right, so we're talking. We are definitely adding that first and primarily for the EDI service, but those features are fairly generic, so it can be used as well for EDI actually.
So to summarize in terms of what you've gained this particular scenario, what you have done so far, you get a really rich modeling experience using the message flow surface, as well as you get all the richness of whatever you've done via the bridge paradigm, as well as the innovations and transforms which you can make use of. Right? Yeah.
Switch to the next part. Any questions? The other part that we're building as part of our BizTalk scenarios on Azure as PaaS is to enable the whole notion of an EDI service. Enterprises interact with each other in B2B partnerships. And one of the things that they want to do is use the kind of a notion like we talked about in terms of an AI bridge, but a much higher level one, right? They don't want to talk about it in terms of a pipeline with a vendor. They want to talk about, I am entering into an agreement with somebody else. And that agreement usually means I'll send you a file of this format, and this is the protocol we're going to talk in. And when you will receive this, you're going to act in this format, right? And so that's sort of a notion of how I set up this agreement with a partner company is actually fairly laborious in terms of both tech intensive as well as manual intensive work. It takes often weeks, maybe even months to set up a new relationship. So one of the challenges that people face nowadays is that they want to be agile enough to be able to onboard partners very quickly, right? And I think the thrust of what we are trying to build is to up-level this conversation, so we actually provide in the service higher-level concepts like agreements, right? Higher-level concepts like, you know, functional acknowledgement that gets back to me. It's not just an act in terms of a message, but in terms of in acknowledging it so that you can actually persist it and you can do tracking and archiving and those kinds of things. And then, of course, there is a whole notion of a transformation because you get an EDI message. It could be, you know, AS2 format, or it could be XML, or it could be flat file, and you need to transform this to the sort of right format that your internal line of business system is expecting. There's a lot of richness around agreement processing in terms of taking an entire batch of messages and stripping it down to a set of individual messages from there, because most of these EDI transactions, they actually don't have a message for every transaction. They would have a lot of them together in one shot. Similarly, on the way out, you want to be able to batch them together as well, right? And finally, when you run all of this, just for the same reasons as we talked before, you want to run all of this at scale, built very quickly in the cloud, but you want to actually have these are EDI transactions. Obviously, you have line of business systems on premise, which need to be updated of the fact that their order has been processed or has been placed. So the same sort of line of business connectivity, hybrid connectivity from the cloud to your line of business system needs to be built. And so I think that's a sort of high level set of things that we're building in EDI, which makes the conversation, which makes the customer's problem more about working at the business problem as opposed to working at the lower levels in terms of the guts of what's the code I'm going to write, right? So the scenario that we'll walk you through is one where you actually use the notion of a TPM portal that you go to. I say I want to work in the trading partner management portal where I want to create a new relationship with a particular customer or a supplier. And then you walk you through a workflow there, at the end of which you're actually able to set up an agreement with a partner and messages start flowing in, and then you're able to process this with very little code other than possibly the transform that you coded up just like in a mapper, right? So the simple scenario that for that is think of two companies, Northwind, who wants to set up a partnership with another company called Contoso. And it's one of those relationships that need to be set up very quickly. I want to be able to get the agreement in terms of what protocol I'm going to use, what is the ACK I'm going to get, what is the error processing system in terms of a message not getting in the right format, and all of this in the cloud, both the setup as well as the running of the system in the cloud, but at the same time hook it up to my currently existing line of business system and a dashboard I have on premise to watch all the orders go by, right? So I don't want to change that part of the system. It's already working. I just want to wire that up to a new partner coming in via the cloud, right? So let me give control to Rajesh now so that he can walk you through the rest of this demo. Which number is it?
So there are two parts to the scenario which we just saw. One was to ensure that we are able to onboard customers more easily, do the EDI validation, and set up the agreements. And then two, you should be able to consume that on-premise and make sure that your on-premise business activities work just the same. without any major change. So as part of our EDI services, you should be able to go and log into a portal at edi.appapplicationlabs.com. And once you do that, you could basically go and create the notion of partner. And all that is required is basically a configuration wherein you say you want to enable connectivity between two partners, Northwind and Contoso. And once you do that, you should be able to go ahead and create agreement between these partners. Now that the partners were previously created, we will see what the typical experience of creating an agreement is. And in this case, I'll walk you through what a typical agreement looks like and what it contains overall to ensure that we're able to set up the connectivity between the two partners. So once we select, we'll be basically able to go ahead and say, what are the two business partners we want to exchange the data between? And you can set the partner profiles. We support all the traditional ways of the authentication or the identity profiles. And in this case, we are going to have it mutually defined wherein we exchange via predefined settings. And not only can you define how the partner identities are going to be exchanged, but one of the cool new things we have is that you'll be able to track the messages and archive it and see it in the tracking portal directly. So all you need right here is, like, as soon as you receive the data, you not only specify the identity, but you also specify I need to track the data and I need to archive it. Once you do that, you can basically go ahead and specify your receive settings, which is I want to receive my data over HTTP. Apart from HTTP, we also support AS2 and FTP. So if you have data coming from an FTP source or an AS2 source, you can go ahead and configure it just the same. And once you specify how you receive the data, the next set of data is what data are you receiving. There are different standards and different formats of messages. In this case, what we are going to do is basically exchange a sales order, which is an XL840 schema. So in the interest of time, we have already uploaded the XL840 schema. But just in case you don't already have uploaded it, you can easily go and click the upload button and launch it from your file system. And all you need to upload is your .xsd file, which is your schema definition. Once you do that, you should be able to go ahead and configure what type of schema you can expect as part of your agreement. And you can also specify whether you need to support functional acknowledgement, technical acknowledgements, etc. All of these are part of the TPM portal. And one of the other nice little things which you see here is, as part of the portal experience, we have made it really simple so that you see only those set of settings which you really care about and surface it to you. And everything else, which is like some really advanced settings, they are not gone, they are not away. You can still access them. They are present under the advanced settings. So if you feel that there are more advanced settings which you need to do, you can drill back to the advanced settings section and specify them. After you specify what kind of data you want to receive, you can also specify whether you need to do any transformations per se. And again, similar to how you specify as part of the schema, you can select one of the transforms which is already uploaded, or you can upload it from your file system if you already have it in place. And finally, you got the data, transformed it, etc. Next set of things is where do you want to route that message to? And this is where we have like first-class experience wherein you can directly send the data to service bus entities and relays. For example, you can send the data directly to a service bus queue, topic, relay, as well as send it to another bridge endpoint. So in this case, what you want to do is basically say that once the message has come validated, transformed, and finally processed, we wanted to send it to a service bus queue. We have named this queue as a queue order EDI, and we have already created the queue as part of a portal experience. So this is the first part of the scenario wherein we have basically created a partner settings, enabled agreements between those partners, and specified where the data needs to be routed to. And all that we did from start to finish at this point of time is a matter of configuration, which we did in the portal. So once we go ahead and deploy the agreement, this endpoint should be live. And in the interest of time, I'd already deployed the agreement. Now we'll actually see the second part, the things where we can consume this directly inside of BizTalk server.
One second, there was a question.
You had a checkbox to support 997.
The question was, are we going to support 999 directly out of the settings? I don't, I had to get back to you on that. So.
Yeah.
So. So the question was, when are we going to get EDIFACT support instead of just the X12? EDIFACT is in the list. We will first have to do X12. The work is going to be incremental. We have the schemas. It's already working in, you know, in the on-premise version. But it's not going to be the first thing that we get out. So if you think that's really critical, we can talk. We can talk about that. So. I see. Okay. We should talk.
The second part is, once you get the data to a source bus queue and we have the data process, how do you actually consume it on-premise and continue your business process from there? And as Sriram pointed out earlier, we are making a bunch of improvements in BizTalk, and I'll walk you through some of them right now. So if you see the list of adapters which we have in place, you know all the traditional adapters like File, FTP, et cetera. We are also introducing a new set of adapters. And the first and foremost is service bus messaging. This is a first-class implementation of service bus adapter, wherein you'd be able to directly receive messages from a service bus queue or a topic, as well as send messages to a service bus queue or a topic. So we'll walk through what the exact experience is, what it need to actually do to enable connectivity to service bus queue or a topic. But apart from service bus queues, you also have support for net TCP relays as well as basic HTTP relays. So basically the entire gamut of service bus, wherein be it a queue topic relay, you should be able to either send data to it or receive data to it directly using this talk. And we'll really walk through the experience now. So all you need to do to consume the data that was processed in the cloud and get it on-premise is basically go ahead and create a receive location and use a service bus messaging adapter. And once you do it, all you need to do to configure that particular receive location is basically give you a queue endpoint. Remember, we created a queue called queue EDI orders. So you are basically going to give that endpoint, wherein this is a service bus endpoint of the complete queue URI. And once you specify that, you go ahead and specify what the ACS token is. Service bus by default handles ACS, and it has a default ACS namespace as well, which is your service bus namespace -sb. It is always created by default, and you can get the username and password, like the shared key and credentials, and specify it here. And the other cool thing is, in the context of service bus queue, you have the notion of brokered properties, which is like a set of properties in the message context. If you want to actually process them inside of BizTalk, you can actually convert them as BizTalk context properties as well. So that's all that is required. So all we did was to consume the data from the queue to on-premise, was create a receive location, say that it is you're receiving data from service bus queue, and you specify the queue endpoint, and you specify the authentication means, which is basically ACS. We have first-class support for ACS, which is not only for service bus messaging adapter, but also the other adapters, which we'll see a little later. So now that you're consuming inside BizTalk, the data is in, it's in your on-premise, and you don't have to change any of the code which you had previously written. And all your business logic which was there previously will continue to work just the same. There's no change required, none at all. So once it is required, if you see, then we have the traditional experience of your order processing, wherein the order gets processed, sends to SQL, and gets processed on-premise. All of that remains the same. The only thing is now you'll be able to directly enable hybrid application connectivity using the service bus messaging adapter. So to complete the scenario, what I'll do is basically do a demo so that you're able to actually send a message to the EDI endpoint and then get processed on-premise and see it in the local database. So what I have is a basic EDI app which allows you to send data to the bridge endpoint. I've extracted the details of which endpoint it sends to, what is the key, et cetera. But if you remember, when we set up the agreement between Northwind and Contoso, the two partner profiles, we specify the identifiers, which is basically CO and NW for Northwind and Contoso. So this app will basically create a sales order on the fly in the XTOL format and send it to the bridge endpoint. So let's go ahead and submit one. So what basically happens is this app takes the data and creates a XTOL transaction. If you see here, the ISR headers, the partner profiles, the CO and NW, and basically the whole XTOL sales order data, and it sends it to the bridge endpoint. Once it sends to the bridge endpoint, it processes as per the defined agreements which you had created, transforms the data, sends it to the queue. BizTalk on-premise pulls from the queue and sends it to the on-premise LOB. To make sure that you're able to actually see the data on-premise, let's go ahead and view the data in BizTalk. So this is the endpoint where we are routing to. And if you see now, there's a new entry, which basically allows you to see the sales order which got processed. Now, your order processing scenario, everything you had on-premise, your order processing, invoice processing, and all this stuff, you don't have to change. Now you'll be able to do hybrid connectivity and create these solutions just as easily as you'll do a configuration. Right? So the richness doesn't end here. As Sriram mentioned earlier, we are building a whole bunch of like new set of features in the TPM portal in EDI services. We enabled tracking earlier, saying that we want to receive the messages and as soon as you receive the data, you want to track the data and archive the data. We will see how you can actually see those data which got processed directly in the TPM portal, download it if necessary, and then see whether it got, you received functional acknowledgements and all those stuff, right? So while this loads, okay, we have 3 minutes. So while this loads, I'll just go back to the BizTalk experience wherein we'll talk about some of the other adapters which we have built. Apart from SourceBus, like messaging adapter, we also have relay adapters for basic HTTP relay as well as NetTCP relay. But also regarding consumption of REST services inside BizTalk, we have a new version called Web HTTP adapter. So to consume a REST service, what you can basically do is go ahead and create a send port. Let me go ahead and create a send port. And now, like other things, you'd be able to see a new binding called Web HTTP binding. Let me go there. WCF Web HTTP binding. And all you need to do, in this case, there's another talk like at 4:45, I believe, wherein we are going to do an actual in-depth demo of how you can consume REST services. But to give an experience, you can basically go to the send port, specify your REST URI, and if you have any sub-URI, you can specify it, and you can specify your security mechanism. Just like any other adapter which we talked about earlier, we have first-class support for ACS. So if your REST service talks ACS and has that in place, can basically enable ACS and provide your security credentials. So this is in place for all the adapters which are built in place.
So in the interest of time, I think we should. Yeah. This entire demo is actually pretty cool. We should. If you're interested, you should definitely go to the 4:45 talk. 4:30 talk. Okay. It's in the Southern Concourse. Yeah. I think what Rajesh will show you there is how to actually access some of these RESTful services, be it in Azure or something like Salesforce. In fact, actually, we have a compelling demo for just showing that in depth. You also have a couple of other in-depth demos that actually go into the details of these things in terms of how they're built. Right? So I think, so I wanted to kind of close with what you just saw, which is basically how the part of this is we're trying to make sure that you actually can build things that are hybrid. Like none of these applications, as you noticed, they actually have some cloud aspects because you want to actually quickly provision the machines and get things running, or in this case, you don't want to punch too many holes through your firewall. And then there are currently running systems on-prem that you want to be able to utilize as well. And you want to bring them all together. And that's the, I think, if there's one thing that I wanted to take away, it's just that we are actually thinking about BizTalk not just as BizTalk server or IaaS or something in the cloud. It's trying to help people build real solutions. And the solution is going to have, footprint in all these places, one or more of these places. So I want to make sure that it's easier to actually build these solutions, right? And this whole environment will get richer and richer as people in BizTalk in each of these areas, right? In IaaS, PaaS, or on server. But even with what you just saw today, what you're going to see is ability to actually take some of your application artifacts that you've already built and move them. Like the previous transform that you have that you've built in or for BizTalk server, we will provide you a migration tool with which you can actually run it on the cloud in the new world, right? Want to be able to connect to seamlessly with Azure artifacts, like the big one that we actually shoot for first is service bus queues topics relay, because that's a messaging system, which is a base platform, so we want to make sure that BizTalk can consume that. Enable hybrid applications that connect both Azure and on-prem, and make it really seamless. Like how Rajesh showed you how you can connect hybrid to BizTalk to a queue, that was very key. Just a couple of clicks, and you start consuming messages. And then you can access on-prem messages from Azure. So before I close, I just want to leave you with what I had as the sort of key takeaways. To reiterate, we'll ship the server version and IaaS 6 months after Windows Server ships, Windows 8 Server ships. We do have a strong commitment to continue to release the server product after this release goes out as well. We'll enable Azure-based IaaS as well as PaaS applications for EA and EDI via BizTalk. We'll bring together on-premises and Azure world, depending on the customer's need in terms of the scenario, right? We'll provide all the tools you can use it the best way in terms of your needs and constraints. And last but not the least, do continue to take a bet on BizTalk. We will take your investments forward. With that, I have actually a couple of actions. The first one is if you're interested in these technologies, which I presume you are, do sign up for a TAP, which is a technology adoption program. Use the product, give the feedback. In fact, much of this actually has been possible in terms of our revisions based on what folks have said using the TAP that was out there, using the CTP that was out there. And ISVs amongst you and SIs should seriously think about building applications that span on-prem and cloud. And we hear this strongly from customers in terms of getting footprints in both these places and how to manage this together. Right. That I close. Thank you very much for joining us. I hope you can make it to the next talk. And Rajesh needs to run to the other room, as do I. But I am here for about next 5-10 minutes to take any questions or any follow-up.